Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, June 19th, 2023, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 87. We're going to be reading the second full paragraph, beginning with "If circumstances warrant," and ending with "Make use of what they offer." We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are Shelley E. reading the text, Lisa N. reading page 164, Tamara C. will be our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter today is Loretta M., and announcements will be Reggie O. The reference number for yesterday, Sunday, June 18th, 2023, is 20,361, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,362, or 20362. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Alex K. in California, recovered compulsive eater. Just for today, the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Well, thank you so much, Alex K. And next, I will ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., grateful and recovered in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a page or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 87. We're going to read the second full paragraph, beginning with, if circumstances warrant, and ends with, make use of what they offer. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph only this morning. And I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading this morning to get us started.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, presently in northern Michigan. The Big Book, page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we've been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Thank you for letting me read this paragraph today. When I first read this today, my husband and I do not do a morning meditation together. We both are secure in our higher power, but we just see things a little bit differently, and not in a bad way. It's just he doesn't have a practice exactly the same as mine, and that's okay. I think one of the things that this paragraph is telling us is that it's important that we do it, but not necessarily that there's a certain way that we do it. And I love that the Big Book was written so long ago and was so accepting of all different ways, all different religions, whatever your walk was at the time. It does ask us that we do spend time in the morning, starting our morning off with prayer and meditation. I do that. I don't do it perfectly, but I try to do it every day. If I miss it, I will try and fit it into my day at some time, but it never becomes easy once I start the day, but I will make myself stop and do it. But I really like to set my day and my intention with my prayer and meditation in the morning. And I've learned in my walk, my prayer just sounds like thank you. And that can happen all during the day. Thank you for the red light, because I don't know what it's keeping me from down the road. And I mean, I know that sounds hokey, but I really am grateful for whatever God puts in my life. Thank you for the migraine I had yesterday. It caused me to stop, slow down, catch up on some sleep I needed, and it kept me from a bit of a family confrontation that I would have been, you know, witness to. For myself, I just never know, even the bad things, I never know God's intention and how he's protecting me is the way I should say that. And so my prayer is really normally just for the knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. And then I do a lot of meditation, which for me is just listening. And I have other practices that I do for that. I know earlier I heard someone mention one of my very favorite prayers, and it's from the For Today reader. It's December 28th, and I use it a lot because I have a family of addicts, and it helps me stay in my own lane. And the prayer, it goes something like, I release you to your own, I love you, I bless you, I release you to your own indwelling presence of God. I turn over responsibility for the lives of others to the same higher power within each of them that manages my own life. I have gotten a lot of relief and one-on-one time with God just saying that prayer. And the last thing I'll end with is, I'm honestly not a really good memorizer of prayers, and I never realized that it says right here in this paragraph, memorize some of them. I mean, I know our serenity prayer. I know the third step prayer and the set aside prayer, but I could really do a little more work in that area. Anyways, I hear my buzzer. Everybody have a nice day, and thank you for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Shelly E. What a great way to get us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on any vision meeting on Thursday or Friday, please allow others the opportunity to share on the reading this morning. And I'm going to get the first lineup, and please give your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Rella R.
Veronica B.
Brooklyn.
I've got Rella R. from Brooklyn.
Veronica B.
I've got Veronica B.
Jessica C.
Jessica C.
Nick P. in California.
Nick P. in Cali. Anyone else like to share on this? All right, well, we'll start with this lineup. So I've got Rella R., Veronica B., Jessica C., and Nick P. And again, please let us know where you're calling from so members can find your phone number on the list and call you. So we'll start with Rella R., followed by Veronica B.
Good morning. It's Rella R. from Brooklyn, New York. Thank you for your lead, and thank you for all for your service. So this paragraph speaks to me because it reminds me how important it is for me to make a direct connection with my higher power right from the start in the morning. And I find that the days that I don't do the routine, for whatever reason, running late, it makes a really big difference. I feel it throughout the day, and I try to catch up whenever I can, because it sets the intention. And actually in Hebrew, the word that is used a lot for prayer is translated to intention. That prayer needs to have intention. And for me, just to get current today, I'm not feeling that well. I woke up 2 days ago with conjunctivitis, which I think I caught from a student. Whenever I'm not feeling well and I live alone, I feel especially vulnerable. And so reaching out, getting on meetings, and speaking to my higher power reminds me that I am not alone, that he is with me. My previous sponsor helped me. You know, I learned so much from different sponsors. I would like to hold on to a sponsor for a while, but I guess my abstinence, I'm not always have perfect abstinence, and for whatever reason, I need to pick myself up and start again, and often that means starting with a new sponsor. He had me write a letter of all the ways that all the good that God bestows upon me in short sentences, like the primary things that I'm grateful to God, the things that he does for me always. And I made a list of about 15 of them. God loves my prayers. God hears me. God wants to hear from me. God looks after me. God cares for my children. And I was starting, of course, to say them by rote each morning. And then I realized that each one is a huge prayer. Like each one, I need to stop, think about it, feel it course through my body, feel God saying it to me, visualize God looking at me. It's work. It's like mental and inner work, but it is so supportive and so life-affirming and so helpful for me. So I'm really grateful for this and for that list that I've made, because I carry that with me. And it certainly does set the intention for my day. So I just thought I'd share that, and thank you all for listening. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Rella R. And next up, Veronica B., followed by Jessica C.
Good morning. I'm Veronica, recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you for your service. I wanted to check in and claim my seat. And this paragraph tells me that it's even suggesting that I memorize a prayer. It's telling me how important prayer is in living this way of life. As a compulsive eater, I am selfish and self-centered. And by praying to God and asking for help, it gets me in the practice of relying on my higher power opposed to myself. And in the beginning for me, it was the third step prayer, the serenity prayer, anything. I would just chant it all day long when I was feeling afraid or disturbed. I just got in the habit of just saying the prayers over and over and over until like whatever thought I was having would just kind of change. And for me, asking God for help, it's like, God, help me like do your will. Help me to help others so that I can get out of myself, because it's really when I'm of service to my family, when I'm of service at work, my neighbor, that's when I'm really feeling filled up. It's not my default to want to, you know, go show up for my mom when the caregivers call out sick. No, at first I'm like, oh, I get annoyed, you know. But somehow God has changed that for me, where today, like, oh, I get to go care for my mom. You know, that's what these steps have done for me. They have absolutely transformed my thinking. And it's in asking for God's help every single day in prayer. You know, God, help me surrender my demands. You know, help me surrender my selfishness. And it's just that practice of asking God for help, because I constantly need help in surrendering throughout the day so that I can be of service to my closest loved ones, you know, and also other compulsive eaters. But really, it's in my home life. How am I demonstrating these principles in my household, at work? Because when I'm being of service to others, when I'm really feeling most connected to God, and when I'm quiet, I spend a lot of time being quiet throughout the day, getting quiet and still and just letting God like show me what his will is for me, you know, just through quietness. So thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next up, Jessica C., followed by Nick P.
Hi, this is Jessica C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I really find that doing my prayer and meditation in the morning is really essential for me. It really sets the tone for the day. And it means that I'm much more likely to connect with God throughout the rest of my day. And I find that I am more in gratitude throughout the day when I do that connection with God in the morning. And, you know, I usually start with some memorized prayers. I find my mind is really busy in the morning and in self and sort of planning and maybe in some fear about the day ahead. And I find, you know, kind of anchoring myself in the third step prayer and the step 11 prayer, it helps me enter into a part of my prayer and meditation where it's more free form, where I'm, you know, asking God for direction and for myself and praying for other people in my life and finding that I'm starting to get, you know, unique inspiration for myself. And I really like how it says we make use of what religious people have to offer. You know, I used to always look for where the religion that I grew up in, I would look for where it was wrong and always sort of default to finding fault with that faith. And that never helped me. It made me feel superior and self-righteous, but it was never helpful to me, really. And, you know, I'm starting to sort of explore that faith again. And I see people in that faith living useful, happy lives. You know, I can look for where it's working for people. And I find that the 12 steps has sort of been a launch pad for me to explore other forms of connecting with God, like formal worship or meditation where I would sit quietly and quiet my mind. I heard someone share at the special edition yesterday that the 12 steps are spiritual kindergarten. So to me, that means I have to keep exploring a deeper connection with God. And I love that OA and the Big Book supports looking for these other forms of connecting with God. And I find, you know, when I do this prayer and meditation regularly in the morning, you know, it's a way for me to really immerse myself in this design for living, where I find, oh, I know that's my time. You know, I'm much more able to be of service, more calm and present during the day. And I get to show up and share at this meeting, which I don't normally do. It gives me the strength and the resources to do that. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jessica C. from Canada. And next is Nick P.
Hi, folks. I'm Nick P. in Southern California in Orange County. I had found this group 3 months ago, and I was doing a daily call with you for 2 months, and it was working pretty well. I had an intention to get a sponsor. I never did. And about a month ago, I fell away and went back to the old ways. Coming back today with an intention to find a sponsor, so I'll stick around afterward to give out my number. And I think I have a membership to the website as well. It might have a members list, and I'll look there as well. And I've also started a morning meditation. That's kind of the topic. It's a formal mindfulness meditation. I'm still in the early stages where you're just focusing on my breathing. But it's, you know, it's a half an hour of just sitting with myself, and it's good for me. It helps. I don't have much more insight. Perhaps I will as the days and months and years roll on. I love that idea about the 12 steps being kindergarten. I believe there's some truth to that. Anyway, that's what I've got. Thank you all for being here. You keep me on the straight and narrow, help me walk the line, and I appreciate it. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nick P., and stick around because after the recording ends, we'll have sponsors identifying, giving out phone numbers. So, and before we get another lineup, if you've just joined us, let me let you know where we are. We are on page 87. We're reading the paragraph that begins with, if circumstances warrant, and finishes with, make use of what they offer. If you haven't shared on any vision meeting on Thursday or Friday, we would love to have you share your experience, strength, and hope today. So who would like to share? Please give your first name and last initial and where you're calling from.
Larry G. from California.
Hey, Larry. Gotcha. Larry G. from California.
Sharon
Joanne
E. from Ohio.
I heard Ohio.
Sharon E. from Ohio.
Awesome. Thanks, Sharon.
Joanne B. from Vermont.
Joanne B. from Vermont.
Donna B.
I've got Donna B. And I think, Donna, you're from California, right?
Donna B. Anna in B. Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. That's right. Okay. All right. And who was after Donna?
Sorry.
Ivana W. from Pennsylvania.
Ivana W. from Pennsylvania.
Christina M. in Massachusetts.
Christina M. M or N?
M as in Mary.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Hannah B. from Tennessee.
Hannah B. from Tennessee. Okay. Well, I think we'll go with that. That might bring us to the end. So we'll just have to see. So I've got Larry G., Sharon E., Joanne B., Donna B., Ivana W., Christina M., and Hannah B. So we'll start with Larry G., followed by Sharon E.
Good morning, Larry G. from California. And thanks, moderator. You're a very kind and generous person. This, if you have anybody who's coming to this fellowship for the first time, if you have a suspicion that this might be a cult of some kind, or we're going to, force something down you that you don't quite believe in, this is a great paragraph that proves that, 12-step programs were really open. The way Bill wrote this, he invited us to explore our own spirituality and find an organization that will support that. For me, my wife and I, we grew up in a big box church. I went from K to 12. She went all the way through college. And for whatever reason, that we drifted away from that, but we found a spiritual community where we live. And the spiritual community has rekindled my love for an iconic individual person, God, who has changed the world. And through this spiritual community, I've learned more about the scriptures than I ever did prior to joining. But what I want to say is that I would be a really poor member of that community without the 12 steps. The 12 steps is the foundation of my life. The 11th step is the foundation of my spirituality. Without that, I would be nothing, as I proved to myself before I came into a vision for you in May of 2020. So the 11th step is the foundation of my life. It gives me permission to study other religions. Right now I'm studying the great saints of all religions, and I'm really quite attracted to a couple of them. One is St. Francis. It's a prayer in the 11th step. You can find that in the AA 12 and 12 on step 11. And so I've become a much better member of a spiritual community because of the 12 steps. And without it, I would be a distraction. Anyway, pass it back to you, moderator.
Well, thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Next up, Sharon E., followed by Joanne B.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharon E. from Ohio, gratefully recovered in this wonderful program. And thank you, everybody, for your service. I just want to say that my hubby and I have started a study together that we agreed on, and there's a prayer in the book, St. Francis's prayer, that I'd like to include in that study because I think it would be helpful to both of us, beneficial to both of us. And this paragraph can help bring couples closer together with a little bit of work and honesty and compassion. We could have hope
And that's kind of what this big program is about anyways, hope, really, to me, in some ways. I mean, the principles are simple in their essence, and they're powerful, of course, made so by the simplicity. For that, I am eternally grateful. Having said that, the simplicity has to be grasped using, you know, we have to daily use our program. And then we get the promises that they, or the blessings, you know, the promised blessings that this program offers. Blessings like, like I said, simplicity, getting along with others, being present, knowing I'm not God. I mean, what a relief that was. I had such a load on my shoulders playing God. Now I can rest a bit knowing that if I stay in this book and follow the program, the directions that I've been given, that the blessings will come just organically. And if I'm present, I'll see them immediately when they do come. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you all. Have a wonderful day, and I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sharon E. from Ohio. And next up is Joanne B., followed by Donna B.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Great. My name is Joanne B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Vermont, and I'm actually just thriving in Canada right now. I just really wanted to share, I missed the reading at the beginning, but, you know, I've been listening to the various shares afterwards, and I've really been trying, working hard, well, maybe not hard enough, to establish, like, a morning routine, and it's not set in stone for me yet. I'm working at it, and it's like I want serenity now, you know, like I want it right away. And when I hear, you know, lots of different people talk about their connection to their higher power, it gives me a lot of hope. I've been in the program for about almost 9 months, and I've stayed abstinent. I've worked the 12 steps with a sponsor. I'm working with the sponsee right now, and so I'm doing all the things that are recommended, but I'm still struggling with, you know, establishing that connection. And I just wanted to put that out there, that I don't think this is an overnight thing. I have seen it, you know, it working in my life and how much calmer I am. And less stressed out, I guess. But it's definitely, it takes a lot of work, for sure. And I do feel that inspiration, and I recognize that when it happens, when I just kind of know what to do, things that used to baffle us. Anyway, I just want to thank everybody and for this meeting. And that, with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Joanne B. from Vermont. Next, we have Donna B., followed by Ivana W.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I am a compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. You know, I think that my experiences when I come to this step, and when I come to the place of living in steps 10, 11, and 12, it's easy for me to forget the desperation and the real sense of lacking power that I experience when I'm in the food or at the very beginning of the step work, that real like longing, desperation, help me, you know, type of prayer. And when I get to the place where I'm practicing 10, 11, and 12, it's easy for the prayers to sound rote and to lose that sense of like, I really, really need a power greater than myself, to be present in my life I really, really need this power that I can check in with and get guidance from and direction from. So what it makes me think about is the importance of my morning prayer and meditation, always having the spirit of step one within it, to remember how much I really need a power greater than myself in my life. After 4 years and 9 months of abstinence, it became very easy for me to believe really that I had found a way to stay abstinent. And my prayers didn't have that same, heartfelt, desperate longing for a power greater than myself to enter into my life. And I think this, I don't pray with a spouse or with friends in a sense, but in listening to this meeting every single day, and hearing people at different phases in their recovery, it is a reminder to pray at that level of really longing and wanting that power greater than myself to enter my life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna B. Next up is Ivana W., followed by Christina M.
Yes, hi, this is Kivana W. from Pennsylvania. I'm fairly new to the program, but one thing that I've totally grasped is the importance of this morning meditation and prayer. It's something that I look forward to. In the beginning, I'm like, there's no way I can sit. I just felt like it was impossible. But I see now that it's not, and I definitely see the importance of it and what I gained from doing that discipline in the morning. My family sees me do it, my husband, my kids. My husband really hasn't, I never asked him to join me. That's something that I could definitely do. My kids have, though. My kids have sat with me. So I would love for it to be something that we could do as a family. I don't know if that's really possible, but I see the benefits of it, and I would love to just share that with them, just to see and what benefits, they might be able to get from it as well. I'll talk about my children on my phone calls a lot, and, a fellow told me that, your children have their own higher power. And I believe that's true, and I believe as their parent, it's my job to allow them to get to know their higher power, for themselves. And I think that might be one way that they'll be able to experience, his presence in their life. So that's all I have to share today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kivana W. from Pennsylvania. Next, we have Christina M., followed by Hannah B.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Stephanie. I'm Christina M., compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And thanks, everyone, for doing service on this meeting and all of the shares so far, which has been just so helpful. And I just wanted to share briefly, there was one line in the reading that stood out to me today, which is, be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they have to offer. Make use of what they offer. Without really realizing it, I think because of my, the way I grew up and the family I grew up in, I had this idea of, be quick to see where religious people are wrong. And it was very hard for me to shift that and start to see a different way. And what I have come to understand in the last few years of being in recovery for me is that, prayer and meditation is not optional. If I want to hold on to this recovery, it is essential. It is vital for me. And I can't, you know, it has to be sort of this living, breathing thing that I continue to grow and expand and enlarge. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that I struggled for many years in this program was because I didn't really understand how essential that was. And so I kind of, you know, would do it like, you know, other people have shared, sort of by rote, or, you know, kind of have this very kind of do the bare minimum and continue that for a long time. And it just didn't really seem to get at what I needed. And this this paragraph also, you know, someone else mentioned the AA 12 and 12. And I love the chapter on step 11 in the AA 12 and 12, which talks about meditation and how essential and practical it is. And this was something that has been so helpful for me, is to understand that this is, that prayer and meditation are my, you know, primary means of making conscious contact with God. And that is where my power comes from. It doesn't come from a food plan. It doesn't come from, you know, checking all the boxes of my day. It comes from my connection with my higher power. And I just, I love that idea that it's practical. It's what's going to give me the emotional balance to face my day. And that has been my experience. And I know my time's almost up, but I also heard a speaker say that, you know, if I'm really going to pursue this, if I really am serious about my recovery, I'm going to have to learn, you know, learn about other, you know, meditation practices, spiritual practices, and incorporate whatever works for me, just to keep it fresh and growing. And I think that's my time. So thanks, everyone. I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina M. from Massachusetts. And next we have Hannah B.
Hey, everyone. This is Hannah B. from Tennessee. Grateful, recovering, compulsive eater. I really like this paragraph. The longer I look at it, the more I like it. To me, it really speaks to needing to stay a student, you know, so that I can continue to grow and evolve my experience. It also has given me a good amount of work to do. Because in the beginning, in really like letting go of the way other people pray in their own path and their own journey, specifically my spouse and my children as they get older, and they find their own way, you know, and they find their, and it's like, it should be that way. I don't pray with my spouse. I mean, I do pray with my spouse, but I don't do it in this formulaic way, the way I initially tried to orchestrate it. and I really like see how I was trying to play God in that. And I was like, let's do this together. But the fact of the matter is that we clashed because we're different souls. We do pray differently. And while we pray together with our kids at night, you know, the things that really, that I really need to do to support my recovery and enrich and nourish, you know, and like bring me back to center so that I'm okay. Because if I don't do that, I find I'm just less okay than the regular person. I think, you know, like I have to do it on my own because my way doesn't necessarily work for everybody else. Everybody else is like really impatient with me. They're like, why are you being quiet for so long? So for me, you know, I love the opportunity to like respect and to let go and to not play God and to go, okay, it's okay. You know, like, yes, I worry sometimes about this person or that person, but really, like, I really just need to, you know, worry about myself and trust that, you know, God has, and my old sponsor said, God doesn't have any grandchildren. And I love that, you know, because that takes, you know, it's like I can set the example, but then the rest is in God's hands. And they see me, like, they see me in the morning. They know if I'm sitting on my pillow and I'm in my room and my eyes are closed and they open the door and they're about to storm in and they see me doing that, they go, oh, sorry. And they step out. And that took a minute to establish, but they see what I do. And so I just, you know, I hope and pray that, you know, that's what will kind of, what they'll be left with, you know. Anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Hannah B. from Tennessee. And we have time for one more. Is there anyone who would like to close us out with a three-minute share?
Betsy H.
All right, Betsy, go for it. Go for
Hi,
it, Betsy.
I'm Betsy H., compulsive reader, recovered in California. And it's been interesting reading this paragraph about morning meditation. And I like to do morning meditation, but then I notice sometimes I'll beat up on myself when I don't do it, and I'll feel so bad. I'll think like, oh, if I only I could get up and do a great morning meditation, then I'm going to have a great day. I'm going to feel wonderful. And it's interesting because I found that sometimes when I do the morning meditation, usually, I mean, I just feel lots of benefits, but then sometimes I still have like a day where I don't feel good, or I get really upset, or you know, have to do lots of 10 steps. So now I'm just saying, you know, if I miss the morning meditation, if I get up late or something, if I'm tired, I'll just try to find a time to do it during the day and just kind of get it in there in those few moments when I have a break at work or I have some kind of a little time. And that's been really powerful too. And I've also said, you know, I'm going to have, even if I didn't do a great job at meditating, my brain was going a million directions, I'm still going to give myself permission to have a good day and to be walking with my higher power all throughout the day. And that's something that's been helpful. And then this paragraph talks about joining with others and seeing where religious people are right. And that's been good for me because I used to be really, you know, and I can be really judgmental of religious people, or I could be judgmental of anyone. And so that's a good reminder for me that they have a lot to share. And now that we're in recovery, we get to join religious bodies if we want to. You know, if we don't, no problem. But if we feel inspired, we could join a religious or spiritual group and experience those benefits. That's one of the blessings of 12-step recovery. Whatever religion or spiritual practice is feels natural to me, the 12-step program will just enhance that. You know, it works with any religion or with no religion. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy H., for taking us home. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Lisa N., if you could please read A Vision for You. The book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you so much for letting me do service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.